could say amen to that tonight. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you, musicians. Aren't you glad that you believe?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that it isn't a struggle to believe? Aren't you glad that it makes more sense to you than anything? There is no, you know, if there was a better answer, I'm open to it, but there isn't. Hallelujah. Therefore, I'm not looking for it. But hallelujah. You love the Lord? I'd like to read from Matthew, the 13th chapter, and we'll, it's a little lengthy reading here. We'll have you seated here in just a moment. Starting at the first verse, Matthew chapter 13 and verse 1. The same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Now, he was taking advantage of the fact that the sound waves will propagate across the water and create kind of an amphitheater effect. And, of course, the great Creator would know things like that. And he spake many things unto them in parables. So there's great multitudes again, parables. Saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside. And the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprang up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, because they had no root. They withered away. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Hear what? Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came, and they said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not given. You say, well, that's not fair. It isn't given to them because they wouldn't, it doesn't mean anything. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because they, seeing not, and hearing, hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing you shall hear, and shall not understand. And by seeing, you shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, or darkened. And their ears are dull of hearing. And their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear, and have not heard them. Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. May the Lord add his blessing, the reading of the word. We'd like to continue on the revelation of the mystery. The revelation of the mystery, part two. Let's bow our heads. Father, as we come together for the evening meal, Lord, we look to you, the author and finisher of our faith. And Father, there's none good amongst us. There's no good flesh. There's nothing for us to boast about or brag about, Lord. We come as we are. We are all one. We are all part of the same body, and We're looking to you, Lord, to direct the body, to speak to the body, to provide what the body has need of, to provide the nutrition, the healing, the encouragement, the comfort, the strength, the deliverance, everything that we have need of, Lord. We're looking to you tonight. And Father, may your blessings rest upon each and every one. And Father, when we leave tonight, may our testimony be, did not our hearts burn within us as he talked with us along the way once again. Bless each and every one, we pray. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen, amen. You may be seated. So I'd like to read also, if we could, from Romans chapter 16, and we'll just read two verses, verse 25 through 27. I guess that's three verses. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel, Paul says, and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. So these are things that were in the back parts of God's mind that he wanted to express. He expressed it in word form first, but the word was not interpreted necessarily. So it remains a secret until God reveals what the thought was that the word is representing. He reveals that to you. It remains a mystery. He says, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest. And by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all the nations for the obedience of faith, to God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. So as we were looking at it this morning, we just want to touch on this for a little bit here this evening before we change the order of the service. We know that God has chosen to reveal himself to his own. Jesus just told us that, right? Blessed are your eyes. It's given to you to know the mysteries. To them it's not, right? Now, that's not an invitation for us to try to figure out who is and who isn't and point and what have you. Just if you have ears to hear, then hear. And thank the Lord. Amen. If you have eyes to see, then no wonder you're excited. No wonder you're looking for more. No wonder your spirit is settled. No wonder you're satisfied when other people aren't satisfied, though you may have less than they do. You may be fighting more battles, but you've got peace and joy and comfort and strength and hope. So God has chosen to reveal himself to his own, and he is revealed by his own word. And we know that the written word of God is, it's like no other book that was ever written or ever will be written. It's not intended to be opened. And I remember, even as a very young boy, my excitement in reading the Bible. And the excitement didn't last real long, you know, because it didn't take too much time for me to, you know, I thought, well, I'll just start in Genesis and I'll just read my way through, right? I got bogged down in Genesis, right? There was a whole lot that you don't understand. And, you know, okay, so they ate a piece of fruit. And because of that, they were cast out of the garden. And day you eat thereof, that day you die. Well, it didn't seem like they died, and right? Just all the confusion. You're trying to make sense of this. And then it's somewhat, in the book of Genesis at least, it's somewhat chronological, but it doesn't take long. You go from one book to another book, and the order's different. And, you know, Job is the oldest book of the Bible. He wasn't the oldest person that lived, and there were events that took place before Job, but it's the oldest book, but it doesn't show up in the front, right? Then you get over to the book of Chronicles, and it's like, forget it. You know, this one begat that one, and that one begat this one. And you begin to understand that it's not like any other book, right? You're expecting to read it like a history book, right? That you open it, you read it from cover to cover in chronological order. But it isn't like that. It isn't like a textbook. It's not like a history book that's taught in classrooms. It's a mysterious book because it can't be understood by just anyone, right? And any understanding that you have, God has to reveal it to you, right? The one that wrote it has to reveal it to you. And in it are recorded the eternal thoughts of God, but not in a manner that can be readily understood by the human mind. It is written that way on purpose, right? Your one of your first instincts when you're coming to it, some of the thoughts that Satan presents to your mind is, you know, this book's kind of messed up, you know? Why does it have to be so broken and choppy? And why does it sound like it's repeating itself in certain places? You know, if you're not careful, it could look to you like, kind of an inferior writing, because it just looks, nonsensical in some places. It looks repetitive in other places. But it's written that way on purpose, right? Because man gets elevated in his own thinking, and he'll walk right over the top of God. The great I am is so great that he can make himself... He can come down to our level, actually below our level or below where we think that we're at. And we're looking around here saying, I don't see him. And we're walking right over him. So in this book, as we saw in our text this morning, God is not just talking to just anyone. We read that in our text again here tonight. He's hiding himself, and at this very same time, he's revealing himself to those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. And he's, simply put, he's speaking to his own children in due season. And God has a way that he can have his word stored up. The word has to be spoke. The word has to come to the prophets. But then it can be stored up. It can be written on paper, papyrus, stone, whatever, cowhide, and be the word of God, and yet written on that page, there's no power in it, there's no life in it, but he can take what is written on there and reveal it to you, and there's where the life is, and there's where the power is. So he's speaking to his children in due season. It's time-released word, if you will. And in order for his children to hear from God, they must hear the word that was written, but the word has to be, as we said, it has to be quickened to them by the Spirit. And God set this up in such a way that he will do that personally, right? We wish that we could just get somebody to see something, but we don't want that nearly as bad as God does, right? That is his desire, and that is his prerogative, and that is his... You know, there are times when we are so convinced that, you know, people need the Holy Ghost, and you think, man, if I could just give it to you, I would. But it isn't ours to give, right? He wants to give it. So, they must hear what the Spirit says when he speaks to them personally. He speaks to us in the right season. And when we hear from him, well, then that's when the mysterious part becomes plain. And that's when we are so humbled because we realize, wow, this is rich. And there's so much there. I just thought this was a story of a widow named Ruth and another one named Naomi and another one, you know, Orpha. And then there's Boaz and, you know, just some other story, right? Some story that we tell our children. Then we find out that it's prophetic, right? That God is actually writing his word and writing prophecy in human lives that are being lived out. So he speaks to us in the right season. And when we hear from him, well, then that mysterious part becomes plain. And the word that he speaks to us is, it's not to tickle our minds. It's not to entertain us. It's certainly not to puff us up. It's not to make us feel like, you know, we're special because we understand something. The word that he speaks is supernatural because it has within it power to bring forth according to the word. And so we're greatly comforted by his revealed word, of course. But most importantly, his revealed word is given to us in order to change us. Let me repeat that. His revealed word is given to us in order to change us. So people, if they're excited and they say, oh, I got this revelation, and there's never any change in their life, then it's not revelation. It's intellectual, right? The word has power, and it will change you. So we're living in a day when, as we looked at this morning, the mystery of God should be finished as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. So in other words, we're living in a day when God speaks to us plainly and he reveals to us his word as we walk with him, right? And he reveals it to us as we have need of, right? You guys listening? You with me? Thank you. And his revealed word has within itself, it has the power to make you come forth in the image of what you are seeing and what you are hearing. And what you're seeing and what you are hearing is him. And you're coming forth in that image. We are being changed by revelation. We are being changed by his revealed word. His word will not return unto him void. It was sent for a purpose. It's to accomplish something, right? And the final change, of course, is the change of our bodies. It's the quickening of our mortal bodies as the mystery of the rapture is revealed to us. That's why there had to be a revelation of the rapture, right? Another way of saying that is rapturing faith, right? There has to be rapturing faith because that's what it's going to take to change your body. Revelation will actually change your body. Because what you're receiving, what's being revealed to you, is living word. And that word will accomplish what it was sent to do. So, as Paul says, we which are alive and remain unto his coming, we will be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. But that has to become real to us. That has to become a revelation. He also says we will be caught up with those that sleep in Christ, and we will meet him in the air. And we will have bodies like him. We will know even as we are known. We will have bodies like him. We will leave behind everything that wars against our souls. We will be separated from temptation forever, separated from depression, from discouragement, from hunger, from thirst, from sorrows. We'll be separated from all of that forever. Our revelation is what we become. What you gaze upon is what you become. What you feed upon is what you become. So we're changed by what we see and by what we hear by the Spirit of the Lord. So that's where we ought to spend our time, right? So much of our discouragement, so much of our depression, unhappiness, we're feeding on the wrong thing. We're looking at the wrong thing. How can God reveal his word to you and you be discouraged? Well, hallelujah. There's power in the revealed word to make you come forth in the image of him. Now, the church has tried to do this themselves. It's hopeless. You can't do it. But the word will do it. It can do it and it will do it. So this is something that's far beyond human abilities. It is the word made power in you. And it's not something that you and I can do by, no matter how sincere we might be. And sincerity is a good thing. We should be sincere. But sincerity is not enough, right? It takes power to do it. So it's something that we accept, it's something that we believe, it's something that we confess, it's something that we yield ourselves over to, And then we are transformed by that very word that we're receiving. What you're receiving is power. Oh, I got to go to church so I can hear the word, and how boring. There's power in it. You won't leave the same way that you came in because there's power in that word. It's supernatural, right? So when we receive that revealed word, friends, it becomes the power of transformation in our lives, and it works His will in our lives. His will is His word, but His word must be in you for His will to be accomplished. So we're living in the day when God has made plain to us things that were previously written, but were not made fully known to everyone. Some not made fully known to anyone, hardly. And as we've said before, the things that are being made known to us in these days are not difficult to understand, right? Now, I would contend that the first church did not have rapturing faith, right? Why? What would the purpose of that be? They weren't going to be raptured, right? They had the rapture within them, right? But the faith for a body change comes in a time when there are those that are alive and remain that need a body change. So there's nothing mysterious about the revealed word once it's brought forth. It's not mysterious any longer. What was previously a mystery to us is now made plain. And we, simply put, we know what it is that we're reading, right? The events of our day are made clear to us when the mystery of the word is made known to us. And friends, you can't force revelation. You can't reveal something. You can't struggle to make it happen. You just simply listen to Him as He speaks to you. And you trust Him to do that. And you commit yourself. He's not trying to hide from you, right? But He will reveal Himself to you from glory unto glory unto glory, because you're being changed from glory unto glory unto glory by the revealing of His word. So the more word we hear, the more we're going to be changed. The more living word, we're being changed. He's calling His people to walk no longer with the world, of course, but to walk with Him. And the world, you know, the church systems, they've actually put him out of His own church in the last days. They claim to be the church, but they put Him out, right? And He's outside knocking, trying to get back in with Pentecost, trying to get back in with the very life. So in order for us to walk with Him, we have to come out of the walled cities. We have to, because He's promised that He will sup with us and us with Him. But we must come to where He is. If He's been put out, how do we expect to find Him in the place that He's been put out? We must come to where He is, and He is without or outside of the walls of the city. He's been put out, and He's no longer welcome. His word is no longer welcome, and He is His word. And He's calling His people to come and walk personally with Him, and they will eventually walk with Him off the face of this earth. So what they are hearing is what's changing them. Now, friends, you can't see that change is taking place, but it is happening. I mean, some things you can see in just the character that's being expressed and what's coming out of your life. But the change, I mean, it's going to come down to the point where there's just one last change, right? But there's all these other changes that are taking place right up to that time. And it's just one last change. So the purpose of the revelation of the mystery is far more than just saving people or cleaning them up and giving them power to live well-ordered lives. We cherish those things, and those things are certainly part of being a Christian. But the purpose of revelation is more than that. The purpose of the revelation of the mystery in particular, people have been saved all through the church ages, right? So the revelation of the mystery is not to save people, right? What's being revealed has another purpose. The revelation of the mystery is to fully restore sons and daughters of God and to give them faith that will rapture them into another dimension. So think about it for a moment. My purpose in this hour is to receive a body change and to be caught up with our Lord in the air. So the word that's being sent in this hour is to do just that. That isn't complicated. We know that now, right? So we want to lay in the presence of the Son and allow the Son to ripen us and bring us to that maturity. But that word must be abide within you. If you abide in Him and His word abides in you, ask what you will. So for that to take place, it requires faith in our lives, and faith is revelation. It's this revealed word, the revelation of what was once a mystery that's going to change me, right? So I'm not being educated, I'm being changed. And I'm looking for that experience to take place in my life, which is the final change. So there's a supernatural power this evening, friends, that is calling us out in the midst of this calling out age. Now, it's not calling us out in a bad way, right? You can call somebody out for an offense or whatever to embarrass them or shame them. No, that's not what this calling out is. This calling out is, come out of her, my people. Be not partakers of her sins, right? So think about what's taking place in our day. God is calling His people into His presence to gather around Him. Paul put it this way, that all things will be gathered together in one, both heaven and in earth, in Christ Jesus. Right? So this is a calling out age. In order to be gathered, we must first be called out. In order to be gathered into Him, we must first come out of the kingdom of darkness. We must first come out of the tombstones of religion, from the dead religions of the world. Because they've put Him outside, right? So to meet with Him requires that we come out. Brother Branham put it this way, and even titled a message, Coming Without the Camp, right? He's been put outside of the camp, so you got to come out of the camp. Not be a happy camper, you got to come out of the camp. Don't get caught up in these camp doctrines and camp spirits, and right? Come out. And get caught up in His spirit. So they have put Him outside. So to meet with Him, it requires that we come out to where He is. And in order for the mysteries to be made known, there would have to be a supernatural power among us, right? The prophet has been taken off the scene. He's served his purpose. He's done his part. He's delivered the message. But the supernatural never left. The whole purpose of the message is for you to receive it and then for it to begin to do a work in your life. But the same one that revealed it to him has to now reveal it to you. So that power that comes into the body, that power, it calls us out of traditions. It calls us out of our own thinking. It calls us out of the things of this present kingdom. It calls us out of politics, out of religion. So there has to be a power that calls us out and delivers us from these things, because this is the age of calling out. What's the point of calling us out if there's no power to change, if there's no power to bring us out? So we find that it's not only a calling out age, which it most certainly is, but it is a time of the revealing of the mysteries, right? And we could go on and on and on. There are people that we'll take these one-line statements and they'll say, oh, well, it's the bride age, you know, so nobody can get saved and this, that, and the other. It is the bride age. They say, well, we're not in Laodicea anymore because we're in the bride age. You can be in Laodicea and be in the bride age. We're also in the information age. We're in the space age. We're, you know, we can go on and on and on. We're in the mystery being made known age and age of a body change, right? So there has to be a power to go along with that. And Brother Branham tells us that it is actually the revealing of these mysteries that's calling us out. Once again, we read this morning, and I just want to touch on it once again. And who is this Melchizedek? He says, then after you recognize the very word of God was eagle food, because it's revealed to you and you're feeding on it. Amen. An eagle likes eagle food. Right? An eagle says, oh, this satisfies. I was made for this. I was eating chicken feed. But now I'm getting eagle food. He says, after you recognize the very word of God was eagle food, because you are a special class of people, you're living in an eagle age, which means there's an eagle anointing. You're a prophetic class of people. Amen. If you weren't a prophetic class of people, how could God reveal his word to you? You recognize the very word of God was eagle food, then you left the other thing. Why would you stay with the other thing? Why would you stay, eating chicken scratch when you can have eagle food? You have then been formed into the living image of the living God. You heard from your theophany. If this earthly body be dissolved, we have one waiting. So when you truly hear the revealed word, you are hearing by a supernatural power that has called you out. Now, other people aren't going to hear what you're hearing, but you are hearing it. A voice called you out. Amen. And you followed that voice, and it led you to the revealed word. Now, maybe you don't recall it that way, maybe, but you can look back now and see, right? Something got a hold of you. Something began to lead you. Maybe you weren't even looking for it, but it found you. And it changed your life. So you've heard from a supernatural voice that's calling you. You've heard from your theophany. You know, you'll hear something, the word going forth, and then that stimulation that comes from the revelation. Your theophany says, believe that. Right? Now your theophany knows it's a word body. Your theophany knows. Right? Knows that that's the word. And it gives you a charge like a charge on a battery. Right? You've heard from a supernatural voice that's calling you. You've heard from your theophany, as Brother Branham says, and your theophany knows the mysteries. In other words, the word isn't a mystery. And the theophany believes. Now I know some of you have lost you already. Oh man, that's so great. Brother Brown talks about it in the message. Who is this Melchizedek? He really breaks it down and goes through it. Brother Brown talks about it when he went beyond the curtain of time, right? When he went beyond the curtain of time, he didn't go into his theophany, right? He looked back and he could see his body still laying there in the bed. And he went over there and they were in their theophanies and he's asking them questions. Why is he asking them questions? Because he's not in his theophany. But in that, they know things that he doesn't know. Yet they're his people. He led them. You know, he runs into one that was in their 80s or whatever when he led that. And now they're 20-something years old, right? And he says, I want to see Jesus. They said, you can't. Well, how do you know that? You can't. Why? Because you have to be judged first. Oh, I do. Well, does Paul have to be judged? Yeah. Well, good. I said the same thing Paul said. Right? You have to be judged. And notice, if you just read these things carefully, line by line, it's just so simple, but some of these simple things can just go right by us sometimes. They told him, you have to be judged, and you made it. How do they know that? You have to be judged, and you made it. I said the same thing. I preached the Holy Ghost just like Paul did. I preached the word just like Paul did. We're resting on that. So they know that's the right answer. Do I have to go back? Yeah, you got to go back. But here's how it's going to happen. You're going to go back, and then we're going to come, or you're going to go back, and then you'll come back here, and then we're going to go back with you. Right? Well, how do you know that? You get into that word body, and you'll know as Adam knew. You bypass that. If you hadn't have bypassed, if you'd have went directly in your theophany, you couldn't be tempted. You could have never fallen. Because you know that old stinking devil, and you know the lies. And no way you could be deceived. No way you could fall. But you bypassed it for a season. So there's a supernatural power that you're hearing by. Just because you can't see it. But you explain it to me. Why is it that you can see something that somebody else can't see? And yet, to you, it's like, it's just being able to read. It's so plain. Man, I can't wait to go share this with my neighbor. I can't wait to go share this with my Sunday school teacher. I can't wait to go share this with Aunt Pat and Uncle Mike. And I just can't wait to do that. Surely they're going to see this and they're going to be just as happy as me. It's my fault. I just didn't explain it right. Come on, Pastor. You need to come tell them. It's because I didn't explain it. No, they didn't see it. Now, it doesn't mean that they won't ever see it, but they're not seeing it yet. So, your theophany knows and believes the word, and that seed inside of you is part of that word. There's a supernatural power that's pulling on you like nothing else can. We looked at that this morning. We're just going to touch on it for just a moment. We'll move on. It has a hold on you right now. And nothing has a stronger pull on your life than that supernatural power. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Nothing can... That's the most powerful force there is in the universe. Nothing can separate you. So as we saw this morning, God has made sure that this third pole, if you'll allow me to just put it to you that way, the third pole is the coming of the Lord. The third pole is the revealing of the Word. There's an appearing, there's a spiritual coming, and then there is a physical coming, right? That third pull will have a stronger pull on you than any other power that you come in contact with or ever could come in contact with. There's no greater power that could get a hold of you. And God has made sure that the revealing of these hidden mysteries would have a greater pull on you than any other force. Now, you explain to me, friends, how knowing something that was a mystery, how that's going to make a change. Unless there's power in it. Unless it's more than intellectual. So your confidence in that power of the revealed word, it provides a resting place for that word. Revelation means more to you than any other power. It means more to you than anything. Something keeps pulling you. Something keeps holding on to you. Now, Satan will try and shake that, but he ain't taking it from you, friends. He can plant seeds of fear in your mind, and you can get anxious in your flesh and what have you, but there's an anchor down here that's not moving, no matter come what may. Something keeps pulling you. Something keeps holding on to you. Something is supernaturally pulling you out of every other thing and is calling you into His presence like a great magnet. Amen. So this third pull, it is the opening of the Word, and it has such a pull on you that you can't get away from it. Not to mention that you don't want to get away from it. You are drawn to this revealed Word like you've never been drawn to anything before. It does mean more to you than anything. Now, if it doesn't tonight, pray. You are drawn to this revealed word like you've been drawn to nothing else before. A supernatural element remained despite the revelation, and that supernatural element is the power of the third pull on your soul this evening. And it will change. It will bring change. It's calling you. It's commanding you. You know, as we've looked at many times before, I'll just touch on it here. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 11. He says, "For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." So every time we come together, an entrance is being ministered unto you. He says, "Therefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things." Well, we know them. Why do you have to tell it to us? We have to be reminded of these things. In fact, revelation is progressive. You're not going to get it all at once. You'll leave service tonight and say, "You know, I just never saw this certain way, though I've heard it about 100,000 times." Right? He says, "I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them." So you may know them at some level, but he's going to keep bringing it until it becomes a revelation. "And be established in the present truth." The present truth in this age is the revealing of the mystery. The finishing of the mystery. So the word preached is power. God is literally creating a bride by the preached word in this generation. And it will do all that he said that it would do. He will have what he said that he will have. Because the words went forth. And in that word is power. And so there are things that have come open in this day that we are pressing into. And it's just amazing that many don't realize that they're even open in this hour. You know, there's a large faction amongst those that claim to follow the message of Malachi 4 that don't believe the book's all the way open.
Right.
Well, for them it isn't. But for you, we're waiting for the coming of the Lord. We're not waiting for somebody to come back to open something that isn't open. Brother Brown said, "As far as I can see, that's the only thing left. We're waiting for the coming of the Lord." Amen. Hallelujah. Not only can we go in, friends, but we have been told to go in. We've been invited to go in. Questions and answers. Brother Brown says, 1 Corinthians chapter 13 says this, "When that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away." And we do have today, by God's help, the perfect interpretation of the word with divine vindication. You just have to want to disbelieve. It's vindicated, it's proven, right? "Then that which is in part is done away with. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. But when I become a man, I put away childish things." So he's quoting Paul, what Paul said. This day the scripture is being fulfilled. Right? This is in the church in its infancy. This is a bride of marriageable age. Maturity. We come to the time of where the sons of God, sons and daughters of God, are going to be manifested. So we can now be settled. We can now be established by the present revealed truth. The revelation of the mystery settles it. Well, you'll get excited at some point. It's the power, friends, to live what has already been spoken concerning us. Now, come on, help me out here tonight. How many of you will admit the first time you heard some of these things that it was just too fantastic? Right? It's not that you were doubting it. It's not that you were saying, "Oh no, I don't believe that." It's that I'm struggling to believe that could be me. That he's talking about me. That that is what's in me that's gonna come out. Right? But the longer you walk in it, the more it's vindicated, the more that it's proven to you, the more you're seeing things as they really are, as you're being changed from glory to glory. So the Word has made power in our lives, and it has supreme control over the body. Brother Branham puts it this way, it will make your body come into obedience to the Word. So nothing in this life can have that kind of a hold on us. Right? We look at how drugs has a hold on a person, how pornography will have a hold on a person, gambling, this, that, and the other, and we think, oh, those are the greatest powers and have the greatest hold. No, those pale. Those pale greatly in comparison with the power that this Word has. The power of revelation. The power that that has on your life. God has spoken it. It has to happen. The Word has to be. He's watching over that Word. It will come to pass. Nothing can keep us from our destiny. But it's a matter of you seeing yourself in that. Hallelujah. And it's revelation that causes you to see it. So we have the perfect interpretation or revelation of the Word in our day. So think about it here for a moment. It didn't happen in any other day, but it happened in our day. Right? God allowed for things that were written in His Word to lay dormant until now, but in our day, they are being made manifest. And we're living in the day when the denominational veil has been rent in two. And we're living, Jesus Christ, the Word, has come into plain view before us. I fully admitted to you, I couldn't make heads or tails of the Bible, not because I didn't believe it was God's Word. I just couldn't make heads or tails of it. But it's a brand new book to me. It's like I never read it before. Or I certainly did read it, but without understanding. So we can see plainly what was once obscured from our vision by traditions and by false teachings of man and by ignorance. And we are seeing what the disciples saw in part, but it's now in plain view before us. There's no reason for it not to be in plain view. Brother Branham said that God kept a whole lot of this secret because if Satan got a hold of it, he would have done great damage. It's too late now. He can't. And we have need of it. So it's been stored up for you knowing that you would have need of it. Well, how can I do this? You can't, but He can. He said it. So God has chosen this day to uncover Himself before us. There have been many prophets and kings and godly men who have longed to see this uncovering that you and I are witnessing. But you and I have been called to live in this day and not them. But I should feel sorry for myself and feel sorry for you. They longed to see your day and didn't see it. Blessed are your eyes, for they see. So the seeing of these things will take us literally over to the other side. What we are gazing upon is what we are walking into. That's why we've got to keep that vision before us. That's why we've got to keep our eye on it. The unveiling of His Word is actually pulling us into His presence, and it will pull us completely out of this mortal realm one day into that immortal realm. What He is unveiling before us is changing us. One look upon this, and you can never be the same again. Your taste for other things is spoiled. You can't go back, and where would we go? So when you look upon this and you see your name written in it, well, how can I see my name? He shows you. When you see your name written in it, a revival starts in you that all heaven rejoices over. It has been uncovered to us that we are, as Brother Branham put it, as Paul put it, not we're going to be, we are the sons and daughters of God. And it has been uncovered that what was once hid in our family lineages we could not see, but it's been uncovered. We've found our names written in the book, and we found our identities are being called into manifestation. The power of God is moving over us like never before. Friends, don't be like people that are just so natural. And they're looking around, well, I don't see anything going on. Well, Lot said the same thing. That's why he went down to Sodom. He didn't know that Abraham was this close to a body change. The power of God is moving over us like never before, and it is changing us into the image that has unveiled before our eyes. Put another way, if we could put it this way, God has broken his silence. During the church ages, there was silent marching around Jericho for, seven ages. But then the last age, there's an exposition of the seven church ages. Walk around seven times in the last age, right? And then a shout goes forth and the walls come down. Amen. So we had, he was moving in the church ages as Son of God, but he's returned, he's revealing himself here in the end time as Son of Man, the Word. So that Word was not unfolding throughout the church ages. That's why it has to be restored. Right? So, I'm breaking that down for you just so you can understand what I mean by silence. There's been silence since the first church age, since his word was finished, written, and Satan has been making all his boasts and claims ever since. But God has now broken his silence and now is making his claims. He's stood up and he says, enough. Time is no more. Satan, the time is no more for you to make your claims. It's time for me to declare my word. It's time for me to declare and unveil to you and to the world my sons and daughters. They always were my sons and daughters. It's time for me to show my children who they are. It's time for me to claim them as my own. I shed my blood for them. I've been interceding on their behalf. The title deed belongs to them, and I am removing all the liens that have built up on that title. I'm wiping it all off and I am placing it back in their hands, and I am making them spotless. I am granting for them to be arrayed in linen pure and white, which is the righteousness of the saints. I'm doing this. I'm making them priests. I'm making them kings. I'm making them holy. It's time for them to arise. It's time for them to shine. Their light has come. And my glory is risen upon them. I have stood silent up until this hour, and I will no longer remain silent. As a result, they are now standing also and will no longer be silent. A shout goes forth and the walls come down. I say to them, speak. Where's the speaking been throughout the ages? It's been silence, right? But now they have his word, and they know what he wants done with it. So what does he want done with it? Speak. The word will do what he sent it to do. But the word of God on human lips, it's the same as deity speaking. I say to them, speak. My masterpiece is on the earth, once again, that I've been working on for 2,000 years, and the whole earth has been waiting for this moment in time when my sons will be manifested here on the earth again. This isn't in the future, friends. The future is now. Amen. We are the people of this open book. We are the people that have been placed here to manifest again what has already been manifested in our day. It's already been proven. We've seen it ripen. We've seen it vindicated. We've seen it proven. But now it's going to be in a many-membered body. So we see that we're living in the age that, even in the natural, let me just take this little detour here for just a moment, just in the natural, and we know the natural types of spiritual in so many different ways, even in the natural, a great breaking forth has taken place in our age. Knowledge has increased. Scripture says that it would, right? The tree of knowledge of good and evil spread its branches around the earth, and we've gone from living in primitive conditions to living in a space age in just a short amount of time. And we aren't talking about just a few people now. Almost everybody has access to the marvels of what has come forth in our day. Practically anybody, if you have money, practically anybody can fly. Anybody can talk to somebody in a moment of time that is living beyond visual range, beyond the range of our natural senses. Anybody can send money through the air and then pull it out of the air, seemingly, from bank accounts and buy something at a store and never touch the money. Anybody practically can get behind the wheel of a car and drive hundreds of miles in a day. Anybody can go on the internet and get answers to questions in just seconds of time. And it's getting to the place where anybody with enough money will be able to travel to the outer regions of our atmosphere. They've already started doing it with Jeff Bezos, some of these flights where they've just, where they put a bunch of women in a capsule and let them, float around next to the, it's getting to where it's not out of our touch. Glad I wasn't in that capsule. All those things are just signs of what is taking place now in the realms of the supernatural. So what has been tapped into in this hour, and what has already been manifested is now available to all sons and daughters of God to walk in. Somebody had to go first. It's not a coincidence that a man by the name of Albert Einstein was born in our day and tapped into things that were previously hidden, but they were things that have been here all along. The prophecy that knowledge shall increase, this day this scripture is being fulfilled. The power that's in the atom that was once previously unknown has been revealed and brought into manifestation. Einstein was actually so far ahead in his thinking from those his peers, those that were around him, that they actually thought for a period of time that he was mentally handicapped. That's what his teacher said. She says, well, I can't even teach him, right? Send him home. His teachers, those around him, they didn't understand the ways that he thought. Therefore, they labeled him as odd and slow. Well, natural types of spiritual, aren't they going to do the same thing with the true church? Oh, one of those little ignoramuses, they got their guns and their Bibles. Yeah, we do. But in fact, Einstein was so far ahead, he was not slow at all. He was not backward at all. He was so far ahead of them that they couldn't relate to him, and so they thought that he was behind them instead. Doesn't that sound familiar? Brother Branham, here's Dr. PhD, LLD in the car with Brother Branham. Well, Brother Branham, you sure don't know your Bible very well. Well, brother, that may be so, but I know the author. So grossly underestimated him. Thinking he's slow, thinking he's a moron. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. Seventh grade education, you can't even say, here you are, haint, tote, fetch, Terry, yonder around the bend over on the Davenport. That ain't no way to talk to people, right? You ought to just, you should have went and got an education. That's really a reproach. You're behind us. He was speaking of things that physicists didn't know. Historians didn't know. He was bringing out things that were revealed to him that were in the back parts of God's mind. He took us back and saw what took place before time began. When God was creating himself into his own creation. Described it to us. Moses said in the beginning. This prophet said before the beginning. Before he started creating, he created himself into his own creation. I could see the logos. I could see it like a little button, a little light. I see the Son of God playing before his Father's door, right? That's the Son of God, God creating, and then he poured himself into that logos, right? That's before he created anything. He's condescending. And we're going to look down on this guy and say, what a moron. And backward. So same thing with Einstein. He was so far ahead of them, they were the slow ones. Did you ever think about this? Your prophet didn't have any peers. I mean, something would break on him. Who's he going to go share it with? Right? He's the only one that sees it. He was, in fact, there were so many things that he saw that Sister Behar was, or excuse me, but that was your name at one time. Sister Lydia was in the meetings hearing. Sister Joyce, perhaps, different ones, right? And people weren't understanding what he was saying, right? But he knew that he was putting things in a storehouse that would be revealed after he's taken off the scene. Talk about Einstein was ahead of his time. You hear Brother Brown say he was born out of season. Well, so was Einstein. Being born out of season, it means that you don't fit, right? You're not understood. You don't even understand yourself. So, how could a message be brought to an age that's going to help people after you're taken off the scene if it's something that's already been duh, right? We're going to be beyond that and need another messenger. But he was ahead. He was out of season. We're still catching, getting a hold of things that, right? And it's okay. It's supposed to be that way. So, Einstein was so far ahead of them that they couldn't relate to him. So they thought that he was behind them instead. And what he said sounded like gibberish to them, but it was actually advanced beyond their thinking. The knowledge that he channeled to us actually started, was a big part of what started an atomic age. Friends, he didn't come up with something new, but what was revealed to him, what he discovered, was already here. Amen. Einstein saw that there was more power in the unseen world than there was in the seen world. And he broke into other dimensions, discovered the laws that govern those other dimensions, and brought the unseen into manifestation. Right. He tapped into power that was already in the unseen realm. And now, what was once an unknown mystery is available to everyone. Now, if that's taking place in the knowledge realm, what about the spiritual realm? So in this very same age, there's another man that's born with a gift to see into the supernatural in a way that hasn't happened since the Apostle Paul was here on the earth. And we've had reformers on the scene. God has done mighty things through reformers throughout the ages, over 2,000 years. But then a seer is on the earth once again. And God declared that in these last days, he would pour out his spirit on all flesh. And he said that in these last days, the Son of Man would be revealed on the earth once again. And he declared that the Lord himself would descend from heaven with a shout, breaking the silence, with a prophetic message of uncovering and of discovering. And the prophet would be so misunderstood that he would be looked on as being backward, and he would be looked on as being odd by those that lived in the same day as him. And yet, he would tap into things in the spiritual realm that have been here all along, but were veiled from our eyes. And he would unlock secrets to the supernatural realm, and he would bring them into plain view before us, showing us the laws that govern them also. And now that that power that was demonstrated, now that it has been demonstrated, it's available to us also. Amen. The power that was demonstrated to Einstein is available to us also. So this was more than a man with a gift. A gift was foreordained to come on the earth, just as it was with Samuel, just as it was with Moses and others. Before the man knew anything about the gift, he was already seeing visions, right? And when this messenger began to study the scriptures, he went outside of the ways of established thinking in our day, right? Which is why people that were in established thinking couldn't understand him, because they're in established thinking. They're thinking the way established thinkers think. He didn't sit around and come up with these things on his own, by his own study, and then give us another, yet one more opinion of another man. He had an angel that showed him things in the Word, and he had eyes that could see what God wanted him to see in the supernatural realm. And he didn't try to gaze into the supernatural realm to see what was there. He was literally transported into that supernatural realm, and he saw what was shown to him. Amen. Amen. He'd have to bite himself to figure out what realm he was in. Am I in a vision? Is this real? What I'm looking on right now, is this a vision? Or is this, you know, what we call normal life? You and I were not made in the same manner to go into those realms and to see what he saw. But guess what? We don't need to. Just as I will never be a thinker like Albert Einstein, I will never go into the realms of thinking as he did. I don't need to. I can't go where he went, but I can benefit now from what was shown to him that he then showed to me. William Branham was supernaturally taught from the scriptures and was shown our day, our message, and things that man had never even thought about before. And as he broke into those things, he began to tap into a power that was in the Word that was now being released. But that power was there all along. Right? Look at the power that was released now to the church once again. Power of deliverance. Power of healing. Power of the new birth. Power to be set free from the binding teachings and the creeds of man and the doctrines of man, liberty from our own family tree and the things that come with it, free from our sins, of course, free from the bondage of our first husband, free from the bondage of our first nature, and ultimately it will set us free from our mortal and corruptible bodies. Tell me what can do that. Science can't do that. They're trying, but they can't do that. Free from a life filled with darkness, free from a life that was filled with despair, with guilt, shame, addiction, torment, free to walk in the glorious liberty of full redemption and to take what was once in our possession as man and walk in it again. Amen. Free to no longer be a slave of the prince of the power of this world, but to have dominion once again as sons and daughters of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You realize Satan's going to have to sit down and shut up during the millennium? You forbid him to speak. It'll be a chain of circumstances. And the circumstances is, did I ask, was I talking to you? Sit down and shut up. We're the prince of the power of the air. What has the mystery of the revelation done for you today? I want you to ponder over that. I want you to think about it. What has been made available to you and to me in this hour that was previously hidden from our eyes? It's not information, friends. If information is all that's required, then computers are going in the rapture because they got the information. What has this unveiling given to us in this hour? What are we being told that it's given to us? We see what natural understanding has made available to all mankind. You can go on to the, excuse me, I don't want to spend any time, I hardly even want to say it, right? But you can go on the internet and get whatever information you need to build an atomic bomb. You don't have to go discover any of that. The information's there. Now, of course, you're going to have to find the uranium or cesium or whatever it is, but find the ingredients. But the know-how is here. Once it's released, once the genie's out of the bottle, it's out. Same thing's true in the spiritual realm. Once the word is released, it's released. It's released to an age. So we see things that were not thought to be possible, but now they are every day manifested before our eyes. I don't look up in the sky any longer and say, that's amazing that that plane is in the air. I take it for granted. I trust that you do too. Right? I mean, occasionally I'll see a cargo plane, a C-47 or whatever, or an A-10 come by, and it looks like it ought to just fall out of the air. It's flying low and slow, and I'll look at that and I'm still amazed, you know, that air is actually a fluid, and there's fluid dynamics that are, you know, and you can work according to those laws that have already been revealed to us, and you can understand why it is that things can fly. And you know, our president, I heard just a portion of it as I was coming down off the mountain yesterday. I wanted to hear, you know, the 250th speech. He kept it kind of short, but hit a lot of little nuggets along the way. And he was, you know, mentioned how, you know, Orville and Wilbur Wright, I mean, that was, what, 120 years ago? Or right? When the Wright brothers, right? And they're just now, you know, playing around and just now able to, you know, move into that fluid called air and, you know, begin to move around in that realm. And look at where we're at now. You know, we just had a Artemis crew that actually traveled further than anybody's ever traveled before. Is Jim Kirk said, to go where no man has gone before. They actually went, you know, they did an elliptical orbit around the moon. They actually went further past the moon than the, you know, the astronauts did before them. And one of the last astronauts, that I think it was Apollo 17, he's still around, and so he acknowledged him with the Artemis crew at the same time. I mean, it's just things are moving just, I mean, come on. Why is this so hard for people to believe? Why is the church asleep? Why is the church like, oh, that's crazy and I can't believe that? And they're just holding on to their traditions. And yet, in the natural realm, things are moving at supersonic speed. I heard that they just rescinded that law where there couldn't be any supersonic commercial flights across America, because I guess they're worried that the sonic booms, you know, when you travel past the speed of sound, you'll hear the sonic booms, and that would disturb people. Well, they just lifted that, right? I mean, what's next? You can't even imagine what's next. Whatever you imagine, it'll be that plus. So why is it so hard to believe that in the spiritual realm, there's a power that already exists. It has to. That already exists, that it's going to cause us to move from this dimension into another one. Into another body that's already here. God's not going to make that, but it already exists. And because it exists, I'm going into it. If it didn't exist, I ain't going nowhere. I'll be judged in the body that I sinned in. God will raise it up and I'll be judged in that body. But I have a heavenly body, a terrestrial body, a celestial body, and a terrestrial body. If this earthly body tabernacle be dissolved, we have one waiting for us already in the heavens. Paul said that 2,000 years ago, right? But it already, God didn't just create it. It exists. Been waiting for me to come to the earth. Been waiting to watch over me. It's got a vested interest. Because what's in this vessel, it isn't complete without that. And that ain't complete without that. Where are we at, friends? What has this spiritual understanding done for us in this hour? What has been made possible that once seemed impossible or unimagined? You know, just about everything that shows up in science fiction ends up becoming reality. Right? Showing you that these imaginations, they're tapping into something. Right? Science fiction envisions you being transported from one place to another. Beam me up. Right? Well, that's true. I'm going to travel like a thought. Not as you suppose, but that is going to happen. Where are we at, friends? What things are now possible that we never even imagined before? The revelation or unveiling of the mystery. If the unveiling of this mystery isn't something that's tremendous, isn't something that's life-changing, isn't something that the church has been teaching over the last 2,000 years, then what's the point? But it is. It's like the discovery of a nuclear fission or a nuclear fusion, right? The power that's in the atom. That power's always been there. But the understanding of it didn't come till this age. It was a mystery. Right? Somebody say, praise the Lord. The revelation or unveiling of the mystery. I'm excited in what I'm going to see in human flesh. Because that unveiling is causing something to happen in a many-membered body. Right? It's bringing things into manifestation that we've never seen before. Right? What power has been unleashed in your life by this unveiling? Let's stand. What power has been unleashed in your life by this unveiling? It's a supernatural power. And yes, it will surprise us. It is surprising us. Many of us never thought we'd be, you know, I still remember what it was like as if it was yesterday. It wasn't yesterday, but it sure, I remember it like that. I haven't forgotten what manner of a person that I once was, right? I still remember what it was like to walk into a congregation of people like you and to think, man, I don't belong here. These guys are angels. I'll never be like them, right? I remember what that's thinking. I could never be like these people, you know? They don't cuss. They don't They don't say unkind words. They'll give a soft answer. They turn in the other cheek. Right? That's not how it was when I grew up. It's not how it was in the Baptist church. Right? I'm walking amongst angels. I didn't realize there were lots of different kinds of angels. But the longer that you walk in it, the more it's no longer a mystery. You realize that was my destiny all along. You realize I never would have found that on my own, right? I was going the wrong direction, perhaps, right? But look at where I'm at now. You know, I don't know if people do this with you, but people do this with me all the time. Well, you know, I remember there was a gentleman that was really, really critical and tried to justify it. And when you justify something, you'll never get over it, right? Well, that's just my temperament or this or that or the other. Well, if there's no power to change us, then what's the point? Because we all got things that came through our... Brother Branham had a temper that would fight a buzzsaw, right? Which he said is borderline insanity. And we saw how temperance got a hold of that temper and brought it into subjection, right? This gentleman said to me one time, he says, well, you know, I don't know why I'm sharing with you this thing or that thing, because, you know, you're happy all the time. And, you know, you just don't go through the things that I go through. And, you know, my jaw about dropped. I thought, man, you have no idea what I go through, right? I just don't wear it on my sleeve, right? I choose to be happy. I choose to wear a smile. That doesn't mean that I'm not going through something. Right? But that shows you the power that I'm speaking of here tonight. Because there was a time when I didn't smile, where people wouldn't have mistaken me for somebody that was never unhappy or whatever. Right? It shows you the power, this transforming power. It is changing you. It is. You're not what you used to be. And it is supernatural. Though it may not appear to be, but it is. Because it's something that you can't do, but it's working in you. The Word is working in you. It's changing you from glory to glory to glory. What am I saying? Be encouraged tonight. Amen. The work that He started, He's going to finish. The best is yet to come. And if the best is yet to come, we've had some wonderful things. But we're coming to a crescendo. We're coming to a climax. Right? There are things that are promised that we haven't seen yet. But they've already been manifested in our day. So we know it's possible. Right? It's not going to be the first time that it happened. It's happened. Right? But now it's got to happen in a many-membered body. Okay. Hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. You love Him? Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank You for Your unfailing words of promise. We thank You for calling us into this great walk with You, Lord, to including us in this hour and this day. Father, for unfolding Yourself before us. We know that You hide Yourself, but then You reveal Yourself in simplicity. And what is so amazing to us, Lord, is only someone as great as You could do something like that. That You are so beyond, so You're higher than anything. And yet You can bring Yourself down to such a level that those of us that were bound in time and space, and you bring yourself down to a level that we can relate to you, that we can understand, that we can that you can express your being to us, that you can express thoughts to us that that are beyond our own thinking, but you condescended. We couldn't go up, and so you came down. And Lord, that's just one of the marvelous, many marvelous attributes that we are, that's being expressed to us in this age, in this hour. If the natural man knows something, well, everybody knows that this natural man knows something. And he's not going to keep quiet about it, and it's always causes that person to be lifted up above others. But Lord, you came humbly and meekly, but with such power. And you demonstrated that power. You lived that power out in human flesh. And you showed us what that power could do. And you showed us that it was in, it is written. You showed us that the source of it was in the Word. You showed us what that Word can do, that it would defeat the devil anytime, any place, under any circumstance, that it would change circumstances, that it would change realities, that that if I was looking for my keys or I was looking for my knife and I couldn't find it, that I could speak and say, well, it's on my dresser or it's in my pocket, and then put my hand in the pocket and there it is. We're living in that kind of a day, that kind of an hour. And you've called for us to live in that kind of a day. And don't let it pass us by, Lord. Don't let us get our eyes on the natural things and get caught up in the natural things, get held back by the natural things and make it a flesh and blood kind of a thing. But, Lord, may we look to the unseen. May we look to the what your word has declared. May we look to what you're revealing to us, and the mighty God being unveiled before us in this last age. Father, may each and every heart be touched here tonight. May each and every heart be ministered to, Lord. And Father, we'll surely give you the praise and honor and glory. And Lord, as we change the order of the service here, we thank you, Lord, that we have yet another opportunity to partake of the Lord's Supper, as it were, Lord, to take this unleavened bread, Lord, which was prepared, Lord, godly hands, and Lord, that we can take it within our bodies, and knowing, Lord, that you are going to bless it. We ask for you to do that in the precious name above all names, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. May you bless it to the goodness of our bodies, Lord, and as we partake of the wine, which is symbolic of the life that was in the blood, we bless that also tonight, Lord, knowing that if all is well, and simply it just takes a moment in time to make things right, that if all is well, we know there's healing in the cup, Lord. We know that, Father, that we'll be blessed, and whether we're blessed or not, we will be blessed. But whether we're blessed or not, we're thankful that we can be obedient. And this is something that you told us to do often in remembrance of you until you come. And so we thank you for this opportunity once again, Lord. Pray that you minister to each and every heart. And Father, as we stand before you, we ask, Lord, that you'd forgive us of anything that we haven't confessed before you, Lord. And Father, if there's something between us and somebody else, as you said in your word, if there's for bringing an offering to not, and there's something we find that there's something between us and somebody else, to lay that offering down, go make that right, and then bring our offering. Lord, likewise, if there's anything that we need to make right with someone else, may we do that, Lord. May you give us the grace, Lord, to humble ourselves and to realize that the devil always tries to make it big and scary, but whenever we do that, we think, my, I should have done that. I was afraid of that, and now I can look past that, and I don't have that hanging over or hanging over someone else. And know that all is well. So, Lord, if there's, we pray for one another here tonight, Lord. Bring each one before you, Lord. Father, may you move upon each and every heart. May you bring to our remembrance anything that needs to be brought. And, Lord, if we've done that and all is well, then may we not accept anything from our enemy as we come forward. If we've done something, we confessed it, we made it right, then we're not going to allow it to be a ball and chain around our neck. We're not going to allow condemnation to come upon us, because there is no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. So we thank you for that, Lord. We just pray that you, Lord, that you would be pleased, Father, that this body would benefit, that, Lord, that this body would be strengthened. And then, Lord, as we go to wash one another's feet, may you be with us, Lord, as we minister to one another, following your example, Lord. Once again, it's something that you told us to do, and so we're thankful that we have another opportunity to do that. And Lord, as we minister to one another, may it just be revealed to us, each and every one, that we're doing a service to our King. We're doing a service to you as we do to the least amongst us. Not that we're going to try to figure out who is the least, but Lord, knowing that the very least amongst us is, we do it to them, we're doing it unto you. And Lord, as we do something against the least amongst the body, we're doing that against you. We certainly don't want that, Lord. So, Father, we pray that you bless our time together, that you would be in our midst, that, Lord, it would just be another time of refreshing and another time of just real Christian fellowship, one with another. As we commit each and every one into your hands, Lord, commit ourselves as well. We thank you and we love you. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Hallelujah. You love him? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be his wonderful name. Amen. I don't think we've sang it in a long time, but if I can remember how it goes. Wonderful, wonderful Jesus, he is my friend, true to the end. He gave himself to redeem me. Jesus, wonderful Lord, wonderful, wonderful Jesus, he is my friend, true to the end.